The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
It's whatever you feel.
Yeah.
The listener wants Christopher Law to stop pressing random buttons 15 minutes ago. It's on the text line.
Stop it, Chris.
Stop, Chris. Pressing random buttons.
How do we get on the air if I didn't press random buttons?
Great point right there. Good morning. Day two of the offseason. We're going to count them up every day, by the way.
Yes.
It's like day 91.
Aren't we like 180 away?
We're
almost there.
Yeah.
We're one day closer.
We are one day closer to the opening of... I mean, do we really have like... I always kind of consider like the opening of camp and football is like... That's the first time I really start getting excited.
For the next calendar year.
Yeah. Yes. Like that kind of... And then I feel like...
But I feel like there's a letdown. Then... Because like football's here, or like preseason, like,
yeah,
no, this
like,
yeah. It needs college needs to start, and then the real NFL games.
You know what's kind of funny is I think in my mind this doesn't make any sense, but I do think in my mind, I think the calendar year actually flips for me on the sports year. The first episode of Hard Knocks. That's just
okay.
That's just how it is in my head.
Which is. Early August, right?
Yeah, and okay. Then you're starting to talk more about you. Yeah. I feel like that really begins the build.
Okay.
And then, boom, you've got preseason. Then you've got, obviously, the opening. And, oh, hey, here's now baseball's finally ending.
Right. The best part of
it. Yeah, the best part is coming, exactly. Hey, NBA training camp's opening. But you have, where are we, April 23rd. So what would that be? May, June, July,
probably about this time August.
Yeah, so. 3.5, 4 months. 4 months we have to fill.
Yeah,
4 months. That's 16 weeks. That's 80 shows, I think.
Ish.
Yeah. Well, 80 shows.
Yeah.
Let's throw in a couple of holidays.
Sure.
Certainly some vacation.
Right. We're almost there.
Yeah.
The other one that's weird to me is like that we're in the middle or the beginning of that calendar year of when football has started. It's about week four, and then there's a Kings preseason game. You're like, wait, I'm actually really like locked in now to football. And you're like, oh, basketball's here? Like,
right.
When it's been gone for so long, and then you're like, yeah, man, this is a really important week four matchup around college football, around the NFL, and it's a preseason Kings game.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
always like, a little weird of a... Okay.
Yeah, and then you start. I like how you every year you're always be like, hey guys, you know, 4 weeks from today we're gonna have Kings regular season basketball. Yeah. Like you're very good at reminding the anniversaries.
Yeah, like, feels weird today, and then yeah.
Yeah, because it's preseason, NFL just started, and it's still 110 outside.
Yeah,
it just feels
right.
Off.
Right.
You know, I always. You know, I'm the guy that every month checks my work day to see what my balances are on my vacation, and I noticed. Well, I can't get into it. But, God, dude, I seriously have, weirdly enough, I'm sure you have more, but it's like I have like 1,000 hours of sick day.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking to myself, do they actually define what sick means? Like, what if I'm just sick of creating content for the offseason? And it's a mental strain, and I demand 3 months of sick time.
Can I also go in there and go, I just had the best day yesterday. It was sick.
It was sick. I'm taking it off.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would stand up in court. Probably not. If like you said, because mental anguish is a thing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. You know, don't mess around with mental health. What if it is a drag on my mental health to do shows when there's no football or basketball. And I believe that I have saved up enough time. I will see you in late August.
Isn't
such a wiener.
I'm such a baby. KHT Carmichael, you would have Christmas music.
Now?
Is it now?
No. Well, I've always made the joke that we could play Christmas music and probably
in the summertime, right?
But no, my thing to this day, my thing is I think I said it off. Oh yeah, I told our new program director I did. Like I seriously once, you know this, like with no irony whatsoever, went into our GM's office and tried to pitch him on us rerunning Best of Kings games every morning during the summer. Like no irony whatsoever. I'm like, hey, well, they're all wins. We pick the best ones. We run it for, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours. And then we do like a post game and we do like a, what did that mean? What do we know now that we didn't know then? Maybe listen to some post game highlights, do an actual post game and just kind of do a rewind of the King season. And I thought of it last year because they were good. Yeah. And, you know, this year, good enough. And we basically, we don't do that every day necessarily, but. You know, 48 or 46 wins. You pick 30, okay, and you do
6 weeks of shows.
6 weeks of shows, which is a month and a half, which gets us halfway there. We get a sponsor, Jiffy Lube Presents Kings Rewind. We run them. We run all new ads during the break. Hey, and awesome. Now, legitimately, it's just a way of filling 4 hours again. But my argument was our numbers aren't going to change. People, they'd be just as interested in that, whatever the hell we're yammering about when it comes to, you know, hey, well, ground ball to third light yesterday. That was crazy. And he wasn't buying it.
Since those are recorded, the game's already recorded, would you record the post game so that way you're literally not here?
Meaning, like, just run the whole thing? Yeah. Oh, you're saying
well, at that point,
it's not
new information. Like, if you're saying I'm reacting to that game, but also what we know now. Mm-hmm. Like, you could record it today.
You're saying, like, record the hour after? Oh,
or whatever.
I mean, you'd have to be okay with it, too.
Well, that's right, but that seems like that's the plan for that.
The only one who's really screwed there is Verlade. He's got to run it.
He can put it in automation. And we're all in Boise.
I mean, I'm just saying. Meanwhile, I want to be very clear about something. I am incredibly aware that there are multiple people listening right now that are on their way to their actual jobs that are difficult, that involve work and, you know, real things. Like, there, I always use it, you know, there's some guy about to get on a roof and lay down tiles and panels and all that for the day, or some guy getting in his 18-wheeler, or gal, getting in their 18-wheeler, keeping America going. And they're listening to some fat ding-dong on there. I want to talk about baseball for money. But I, the good news is I own it.
That's great news.
I own the fact that I hate the summertime and I'm being whiny, but that's fine.
Hey.
Okay with that.
Yesterday, that I told you it was only spring.
Oh, yeah.
We had a hot day, but today you're getting your weather.
Also, I should tell you this because it's weird. I started antibiotics for my ear yesterday. Uh-huh. It's not going away.
Okay. The ear?
Well, the ear, thank God, isn't. It currently feels right now every once in a while because I think they're working. About every few seconds, it literally feels like there is a tiny worm moving around in my inner ear. And I believe that's the antibiotics working and breaking things up. It's a combination of an itch and a really invasive feeling. So for some reason today, I jerkily start scratching my ear or maneuvering in a weird, it's like a invasive, semi-painful, but not really ticklish, weird feeling right now.
If you feel something in your ears, I've got some videos to show you during the break.
Ew, I don't want to
see. Don't show them those.
Didn't I show you the one with the automatic ear cleaner, but I didn't tell you what it was at first? Was that you I showed that to? Or was a lady who put on, like, it looked like she put on a headphone.
Oh,
it was transparent. Next thing you know, there's, like, all gross. This wax rolling out. You ever irrigate your ears, guys? You ever done that before?
No.
Jason?
No.
Let me tell you something. This is disgusting. Everybody should irrigate their ears at least once in their lives, especially if you have any sort of wax in your ears ever. Dude, about once every 4 years, I straight up irrigate my ears. It's a weird process where you put some drops in your ear, these like peroxide thing, you let it like kind of get everything prepped. And then you take, you know, those bulb syringes, mm-hmm. you take warm water and you suck in the water and then you put the bulb in your ear and you lightly go and just the water drips down. I cannot begin to tell you. It usually takes about 10 minutes, but eventually whatever stuff you have up there dislodges. Here's the gross part. I have, no lie, pulled ear canal shaped pieces of wax that have fallen out of my ear that are approximately the size of my pinky nail. And it's like you have superhuman hearing. Now, I don't expect everybody has that kind of buildup, but I'll bet you everyone in radio that uses headphones has some sort of humidity enhanced buildup in their ears. And you would be shocked because you don't realize it because it's steady. It's like the growth of a puppy. It's not all at once. You don't notice it. You would be amazed as to how much better you hear if you irrigate your ears. I highly recommend it.
You recommend it? Don't you have something crawling around in your ear right now?
Yeah, but that's not for me. It's probably because I haven't done it in a couple years. Seriously, I should. I'll tell you what. If this all ends in me irrigating my ears and something pops out, I'll bring it in and I'll show you. And you'll be like, oh.
I'm good.
No, I'll show you. Just so you know, you'll be like, this could be me too. And I'll put it in a little thing of cellophane and I'll close it and I'll sign it and I'll give it away. We can do like third caller.
Yes.
It's a cool prize.
We shouldn't joke around about that.
What? Oh, because like lawyers?
Because we definitely cannot do that.
Let me tell you
why,
something.
Why? Because they can't win?
If somebody were to decide to sue us because we falsely promised a block of my earwax, I'm getting out of show business, man. That's it right there.
But I think you could do it on your own socials.
Oh, my gosh. Here's the question. Do you think if I took a picture of a pinky nail-sized cylinder of earwax that plopped out of my ears after I irrigated them, and I put it in cellophane, and I took a picture, and I put it out on Twitter, and I said, I will give this away to the first person that meets me at, and I'm like, I don't know what a...
Yeah, someone would.
You think somebody would legitimately show up?
Yes.
I don't know whether they really wanted the... But sometimes it's like, I'm going to follow the directions.
Just going to do the thing?
Yeah. And it's like,
and then
yeah,
you'd have to meet that person.
That's the only thing holding you back.
That's exactly right. Like, hey. All right, well, with that being said...
What if you then took a picture of it and you're like, hey, it looks like De'Aaron Fox. I don't know.
Then you can sell it.
You smear it. It's earwax in the shape of Jesus or whatever. Isn't that what they do with like the tomato when you cut it in half? All right, well, somebody's getting ready to eat breakfast out there, so we apologize.
You're welcome.
We're going to lead it off next. Today's program, the Kings have their exit interviews. We have sound there. Today's example, Malik Monk, which is the most newsworthy. So we're going to spend our day on Malik Monk. You'll hear what he said yesterday. We'll allow you guys to determine whether or not he's staying or going based solely on exit interview audio. And, Jason, we're lucky enough to have a doubleheader, if you will.
Yes, I will.
From Sam Amick, with all the stuff coming out on The Athletic, not just the anonymous polling, but also the King stuff yesterday. Sam is going to come on today and Thursday to help us break down the season. It's Dave, it's Chris, it's Jason, it's all of us. We appreciate you being here. Leading off is next.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
Yeah, it's definitely very disappointing how it ended. You know, it's frustrating. You know, it's tough to even watch the playoffs, you know, knowing that we could be there and fighting.
Trying to figure out who Domantas Sabonis sounds like. Reminded me of somebody, but I can't remember now, like his cadence. But that was him. Domantas Sabonis. He is frustrated. Good. You know what? I hope the whole team's frustrated. We're all frustrated. It doesn't mean we don't like them. This is a frustratingly good, bad, frustrating year. I think like a lot. You can't just lock it down with one adjective.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know how next year will go already. I mean, already looking ahead to that. But I was thinking, I hope in a general statement that the year is enjoyed by more people. Year.
think it could be.
I mean, it could be. It could be a worse year. I mean, obviously, it could be.
I think if it's a better year.
I mean, not just, but like, you know, they won a decent amount of games. It was, but I don't, you know, universally, I don't think people enjoyed this year that much. And that's unfortunate.
I think at 46 wins, I honestly think that they could have 46 wins next year and the year be incredibly more enjoyable.
Yeah,
I think the main problem was a lot of the losses they had and the free throws.
Right.
And and Harrison Barnes admitting, like, it's like we're almost afraid to say it because it's such an insult to a player when you say they just didn't show up. And then Harrison Barnes comes out yesterday and says, yeah, there were some games we didn't show up.
Right.
Well, where were you?
Right. And Vox says, if we make our free throws, we probably win 51 games. You're like, well,
yeah,
that'd have been nice.
Yeah, well, so just so you understand, exit interviews happen. That's where everybody meets with the coach. You know, as we said yesterday, GM, coach, everybody else. Then they face the media, and now they're done. Their duties are officially done for the year, and they're off to wherever they're going. Hopefully, I hope everybody goes somewhere sunny and nice. Go see your family, spend some time, get away from basketball. And again, we'll have Malik Monk's comments first up at 7:30. We'll break all of those down. Yeah, it was frustrating, and it'll be a very interesting offseason.
Absolutely.
I hope.
Well, yeah, I think it needs to be, right? I think that would be the one. You don't make moves just to make moves, but I also think they're at the point where, like, I believe they know they've got to make moves.
It's just interesting because they believe, I'm sure, they know they have to make moves. The problem is other teams also know that they have to make moves.
Right.
Now, Monty's not on the hot seat per se. But it's like, okay. You also, it's just, we talked about this before. It takes an incredible amount of discipline from the GM standpoint to say, you know what? I know we have to make moves. I'm not doing something that we're not getting value out of simply to make a move that's going to damage this team in the long run. I don't care how many people hate me. I'm not going to do it. They don't know. Might be, well, Monty's not making any moves. Well, yeah, because every trade is like, we'll give you Bill Schmidt for DeMontis Sabonis.
Right.
We'll give you Billy whatever for De'Aaron Fox.
Like, yeah.
Or, you know, here's a first-round conditional pick for Keegan Murray. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here's Tobias Harris.
And without any moves being made, but if they made seven this offseason, people are like, man, they really went to work. Well, they hadn't played a game.
They haven't played a game.
What if it all fell apart? Like, it's sometimes I think the confusion is just free agency and trades and drafts. They're going to be totally different.
Yes.
Well, yeah, maybe, but is it better? That's what we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. And I always say I don't know much. But I know I love you. Yeah, you got that. Aaron Neville. Shout out Aaron. He's still with us, right?
Yeah, okay. I believe so.
Number two, please. DiVincenzo. Hold on. That was me. Cut number two, please. Well, that was loud, wasn't it? Let's try that again. All right, here we go.
I cleaned my ear up.
DiVincenzo finds Brunson. Great defense here from the Sixers. Brunson gets a prayer of a bounce. 2-point game. Maxi. The deck. Hart takes it from him. Shot clock is off. DiVincenzo, no. Hartenstein with an offensive rebound. Another chance here. DiVincenzo. He's got it. The Knicks have the lead again. Their defense turning into offense. What a flurry for the Knickerbockers.
What a flurry. Here's the thing. Great call.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best call. A very rare thing
happened
last night during this call.
The Hart, back to Brunson.
Mike Breen.
Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. 2-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxi gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a 1-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Double.
Double bang. Generally reserved for Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
The rare Mike Breen double bank. By the way, Jason, and this is radio, so obviously that won't work. when the ball is kicked out to Dante DiVincenzo for the second time, does that remind you of anything?
No.
The ball gets kicked out. I don't know why. It's probably because I'm a psycho. But if you look back at it, it's not the same. Oh, God, that looked like Robert Ory's.
Gotcha.
It's almost the exact same spot. Ball gets kicked out right into the shooter's hands, and he nails it. Also, screw you, Dante DiVincenzo. Where was this? Where the hell was this when you were on the Kings, Dante? Now you're Mr. Most Improved Candidate, shooting well from three-ish, 40%, I'll take it, flexing. Was he just taking the season off in Sacramento? What happened? Certainly not our fault, right? That we were a kind of a weird franchise. It's his fault.
I agree.
There's another game, too. Cut number three, please. Or no. Yes?
Okay. Cut number three.
I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. There's a
the Nuggets have won!
Was it just me? Says Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller. Was it just me? That was like a weird call. Like, I'm trying to figure out, did Reggie yell over was Harlan late on the... Let me replay.
I think it's Harlan in there.
Is he late on the good?
Yeah.
Let me play it.
I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. There's a...
Yeah.
The Nuggets have won!
He says good, the Nuggets have won.
But who else is talking when he says good? Is that Reggie? Like,
I don't hear another voice.
You don't hear another voice right where he says good, it sounds like he's saying something.
Game's over.
I think it's Reggie saying game's over.
It's a move. Game's over.
Yeah. Good job, Reg. That great call, Reggie. What a ding dong. Go to college, Reggie. Get an education. Learn how to not sorry. My bad. Where are the UCLA? Did he go to UCLA?
I believe so.
Reggie?
Of course.
I'm surprised he didn't give some weird, like, you know, this is what they talk about in the bus. Giving the team the ball when you're down two.
Can we all agree? Cheryl greater than sign. Just saying. Cheryl greater than sign, Reggie. That's home. I'm just saying. She wouldn't have stepped on Kevin Harlan.
How about Daryl? Do you know their brother, Daryl?
They have a brother, Daryl Miller?
Yeah.
Wait, do they really?
Yeah, played for the California Angels.
That's not a Newhart joke?
Nope.
Really? And their other brother, Daryl?
Was a Major League Baseball
player. So there's Reggie, Cheryl, and Daryl?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. That's
I believe I got the name right.
I never knew Daryl that. Miller. I am so excited.
Might be the oldest. I don't know. I could have my timeline wrong. But, yeah, he's the less talked about Miller.
Daryl Miller. Daryl Miller is the brother of Cheryl and Reggie. Dare I say, the better looking of the brothers?
Yeah, it could be.
He's a fine looking young man.
Yeah.
Cheryl, Reggie, and Daryl.
How about that professional family, though?
I love it. That
One
is.
One of the greatest women's basketball players of all time. A Hall of Fame basketball player. And then, you know, he had a baseball career.
He still made made the major leagues. He had 35 runs batted in major league baseball. 4-year career. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something every day, Jason. Reggie, Cheryl, and Daryl. Also a deacon.
Really?
Yeah, he's
Deacon Daryl?
He's Deacon Daryl. He is also a Catholic deacon and the first African-American ordained in the Diocese of Orange. I don't know what that is, but it sounds awesome. As of 2021, he serves as the director of Major League Baseball's Urban Youth Academy located in Compton, California. That sounds to me like a life well-lived.
Yeah.
That sounds to me like a life well... Well, you know what? Salute to you, Daryl Keith Miller, Sr. I'm assuming he had a kid named Junior because it's a senior right there. Good, Red. Salute to the Miller family, except Reggie, who stepped on the ball.
It's Miller time.
We'll take a break when we come back. K Kings go through exit interviews. Here's how we'll lay everything out. We'll preview this, that, and whatever. And also, we should get into fan exit interviews, too.
Mm.
Like, what do the fans think? What is your exit interview like? Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back with all that next.
Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
I was just down the hall talking to the countries. Pat and Tom.
Already bored of your sports?
Yeah, I was tired of sports. It was really just Pat still I was talking to. Because he's a music nut, too. And I was thinking about this. I got on a kick yesterday. Anyone who knows me knows my favorite band's the Beatles. Anybody who knows me knows that I think there was a 4-year period with Revolver and Sgt. Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour and the White Album. Those four albums were written and released within 27 months of each other. It's, I believe, the greatest heater in artistic history in any type of artistry.
I think the I think the I can't think of the
Smiths. Yeah,
the
Morrissey,
not the Smiths.
Smiths.
I'm thinking of the Renaissance. They might have
no Da Vinci or whoever. Nah.
Michelangelo.
Yeah, Michelangelo.
Raphael, all the turtles.
Michael or Mike Angelo, they used to call him. Mm-hmm. They'd call him Mike. Yeah,
yo, Mikey.
Hey, Mike Angelo.
What's that painting?
Mikey C.
But like, you had in the 60s, forget all the British invasions, the Beatles, Who, Rolling Stones, early Pink Floyd. Like, I got on this kick yesterday. I was listening to Sam and Dave. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. You know, and then that rolled into Otis Redding, which rolled into, and it's like you had that whole genre of music. Plus, you had all the British invasion music. There's just like not another decade that touches this. I don't think it's even. And I'm wearing an Alice in Chains shirt. I grew up in the 90s.
Do you want to go back to the 90s?
I would love to have been. I'm sure there was like a bunch of crap in the 60s too, obviously. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to
a lot of garbage.
Yeah, quite a bit. But musically, I don't think there's another decade that can touch it. I don't think it's close.
I think we all do that with a certain decade of music.
Yeah, but I think
most music most of the time is worthless. And then we forget about it, and we don't listen to it anymore, and we just remember the really good stuff.
I don't disagree with the spirit of what you're saying. I would say it's a little different because I was not anywhere close to alive in the 60s. Like, I'm not romanticizing. Like, I'll do that in the 90s. You know, for every Alice in Chains, there's, you know, 9 freaking Sugar Rays. Or Smash Mouths.
Or the Simpsons album.
Right. Or Beavis. Well, actually, you know, the Beavis and Butthead soundtrack is super underrated.
It's pretty good.
It's actually really, it's one of the more underrated albums you'll see. There's a lot of really good stuff on the Beavis and Butthead Experience. But the 60s, I have no reason to romanticize that because I wasn't around. I was still being, you know, I was still part of my dad for the most part. Mm-hmm. But golly, just, and the sports.
Gross.
I would pick the 60s. I could go see Mickey Mantle end his career, you know, the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
I could go see the Beatles play. I think that would be number one. About
60s sounds like the worst time to go to.
I honestly think that would be number one on my bucket. That would, if I had a choice between going to the Masters for all 4 days or being able to see the Beatles perform at the Cavern Club or something, I'm taking the Beatles.
Now that I think about it, like, they say when there's awful time in the world, that's when the best art is created.
Makes sense.
It's probably why you're thinking that.
You're right. No, I'm not sitting here going, hey, the 60s were amazing. No.
But musically.
Musically. I mean, yeah, we landed on the moon and whatever, but like.
Did we?
The 60s, yeah, I know, right? Oh, God. Please don't get started on that with our chat, which I'm checking, and okay. All right, exit interviews.
Yes.
Yesterday. We're going to lay them out over the next few days where we're going to take a player. We're going to take their exit interview. We're going to play that. You can hear their comments unfiltered, censored. I mean, if they swear, which I don't think there are any. But we have FCC rules we have to follow. We'll play all of that, and then that'll give us the ability kind of the rollout to roll them out, grade them, talk about them, and ups, downs, ins and outs, et cetera. And Malik Monk is going to be the most newsworthy, obviously, because we are, and we've been here before with players. I wouldn't say this is like when Chris Webber was a free agent. Certainly, it's not like that, but definitely.
Pretty big.
It is pretty big. It's a big deal. So we'll lay that out. And we'll do that. We'll be doing that with Malik. Sam's going to come on. And then a lot of these, too, we're not going to spend, guys like Kevin Herter, Davion Mitchell, we'll have their audio and then do the same. So we'll knock these out this week, maybe into next week. Malik's going to come up at 7:30. Jason, I wonder, in your exit interview, as a broadcaster / fan of this team, I could ask you the existential question: was this a failure? We've covered that before. Right. Are you waiting to see what happens in the offseason to temper any form of excitement you have going into next year? Or let me throw this at you: what if Monty McNair's sitting back and he's saying, "You know what, Fox and Sabonis, they're in their primes. They both had wonderful years. Keegan's going to take another leap. I believe that. We found a defensive guy in Keon Ellis. I'm going to sign Malik Monk somehow." What if that was the big move? They signed Malik Monk. And you rolled it back for a third year in a row.
I think that would be a tough sell to the fan base. I think part of that fan base or someone that talks about him all the time, I could squint my eyes and go, I could see them having a better year.
Sure.
But I also feel like that's a little bit of a fool's errand to think just what? Health and maybe the West isn't as good? I mean, would that be the rationale?
Health, West is good, but also I think we underrate continuity.
Okay.
I just think everyone does that.
Yeah.
You could also have a bad team that stays together for a long time.
Right. And I guess maybe my stance would be like, it's not a blow up thing. Like, that doesn't need to happen to me. But I also feel like something needs to happen. And even painting it at the most optimistic and, hey, everything's going to fall in place, I don't think they were a championship team. And I think that's what they're chasing. So if you go Fox, Sabonis will have even a better year. Monk would be better if you signed him. Murray will be better. That's all great. I don't think that team's hoisting a trophy. I don't. But I also don't know how far away they are, but I don't think you can just go, well, we're getting closer. Like, I think you need to do something else to get them closer.
What if I were to tell you that there was a coach that had an all-star caliber point guard, an all-NBA center, and he took over a team, and they missed the playoffs in his first year? But then they missed the playoffs in the second year. Then they missed the playoffs in the third year, three straight. Coach almost got fired. Then they finally made the playoffs. They lost in the semis. Then they made the conference finals, lost there. Then they lost in the semis again. So now you're 6 years into this. You still have that same center. You still have that same guard. Then you lost in the first round of the playoffs. And you started out with wins of 33, 40, 46, 54, 46, and 47 before you finally won your title. That's Mike Malone's journey with Jokic and Jamal Murray. I spent a lot of time on social media yesterday having a little bit of fun, and I think, misunderstood in one sense. I have said this for a long time, and I believe it to be true. I don't think it's an exact science, but I think Monty McNair's blueprint's the Denver Nuggets. I think it has been from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think they have their Jamal Murray and De'Aaron Fox. And when I say they have their Jokic and Domantas Sabonis, right. Domantas Sabonis, as I clearly state, is not Nikola Jokic. He's not. There's a 7 points per game difference. And you're not going to Domas at the end of the fourth to get you automatic buckets like you can with Jokic. But I do believe the statement is true that Domantas Sabonis is the closest center in the league, or I'll even say the closest big in the league, to Nikola Jokic. Is there another? I mean, Joel Embiid is a better center than Domantas Sabonis, but I don't think he's like Nikola Jokic. He's not the distributor.
Yeah.
So for me, if you're using that as a blueprint, you have a defensive-minded coach on an offensively talented team, Mike Malone, Mike Brown. You have a clutch point guard to run the show, Jamal Murray, De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, by the way, has about 5.5 more points per game than Jamal Murray, so there's some of that makeup. You have a center in which the offense runs through that can sit at the top of the key all day long, Jokic and Sabonis. I believe the Kings are hoping Keegan Murray is their better defending version of Michael Porter Jr., maybe a hybrid of Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon had a baby type of thing. But they still need their Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They still need their Bruce Brown. They need to add some around the edges. But that's what I think the blueprint is.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget how long it took the Nuggets to get over the hump. The only real pin you can put in my theory, or the only thing that gives you pause, is that age-wise, Fox, Murray, Sabonis, Jokic, I think they're about a year younger. So by this age,
yeah,
Jokic and Murray were further along in the playoffs. But
they had played together for a lot longer.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Fox and Sabonis have played together for two and a quarter seasons. So I do think, hey, wasn't it Monty? Gosh, I lose track of the GMs. It could have been Pete. Might have been Vlade. I think it was Monty very early on. Wasn't it like, hey, it's like we're at a poker table and you're just trying to grab chips and you're trying to store chip. You know, okay, here's a chip, we'll put it away. Here's another chip, we'll put it away. I feel like the Kings have 2.5 chips.
Uh-huh.
3.5 if you count the coach.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's some teams have one, some teams have none. You have a foundation in Fox and Sabonis. Now it's a matter of, okay, you put Keegan there, you have a lottery pick now, not counting on that being whatever, but it's still a lottery pick.
Yeah. Well, in the Gordon example that you used for Denver, is a player that was drafted as a lottery pick and was okay in Orlando. But that was a thing where they saw him on our team is going to be different, and he is.
That's right.
Like, he was just okay.
That's right.
So can you find that player? Like, to some extent, I look at Kevin Huerter when they first got him. You're like, he's okay.
Yeah.
Wow, he looks really good with this team.
That's right.
Now, he didn't have the same year this year.
Sure.
But you hope to find someone that on your squad with your players, you get the better version of that player.
And I think, unlike, for example, well, let's go back to Dante DiVincenzo to underline your point. Dante DiVincenzo on the Kings team a couple of years ago was lame. But it wasn't all his fault. Right. He's also playing on a crap team. You put him on the Knicks, he's shining. The great thing about the Kings now is that there's a higher chance of us bringing in new signings, trades, draft picks, much like those who remember the early 2000s,
yeah,
John Barry, Scott Pollard, Vernon Maxwell, etc. They all seem to have career years with the Kings.
Malik Monk. He was not a great player.
Absolutely.
Okay. But he comes here like, wow, that's a difference-making player.
I cannot underline enough that if they are able, and gross, why can we just please trade 8 first-round draft picks for Mikal Bridges? 8 first-round draft picks and Harrison Barnes for Mikal Bridges. If you could somehow, you know, you're not doing that, but if you could somehow get that defensive wing, you can write 50 down in ink next year. As long as there's no crazy major core injuries, you can write 50 down in ink. That is, that's what they need. That's what they got to get. Easier said than done.
Right.
But they got to find their Aaron Gordon. We'll take a break. When we come back, safe or out, some baseball news, including a very unfortunate mic'd up moments in the A's and Yankees game. We'll tell you why next.
Safe or out. It's time to go around baseball. 3 pitches, 3 swings. It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Many, many years from now, I hope. Many. Decades even. When My face is burning from the fires of hell. I will look across the bridge of whatever the place in hell I'm put at, and I'll just kind of wave and salute Christopher Laud looking back at me from his place. It's going to be hot. Be hot in the afterlife for Oliver Laud over there. I can tell you that much. I can't even get into what he did during the break, but he got me. I appreciated how incredibly evil it was. The fact that I would also do something like that. In fact, I think I have before with a family member.
Probably.
Anyways. Coming up in the next segment, proof that jinxes are real. And you really, 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 the sooner you accept it, the better. In the meantime, safer out. Question one.
Safer out. Tossing Yankee manager Aaron Boone out of the game for not saying a thing is a bad look for MLB.
Safe. If you missed it yesterday, the mics were loud and clear. Aaron Boone was yelling at Hunter Wendelstedt. Son of
or
Harry.
Not.
I think in the beginning he was. Yeah. Like, and Hunter turns and is like, hey, that's enough. I did the thing. I did it right.
Yeah, no more out of you.
And then, of course, he did the thing I hate. This to me is almost more egregious than what he did next. And we'd have the audio for you, but there's a lot of swearies in it. But then Hunter goes, hey, if you say anything else, you're gone. And it's like, why do you have to say an incentive? You're an umpire, dude. You shouldn't insert yourself. If you got to toss a guy, toss a guy. If you say something like, that's your warning. But you say one more thing and you're gone. Go ahead. It's like you're just baiting the guy at this point as an adult. But whatever. And then play resumes. And all of a sudden, you don't know what said. You hear. And he tosses Aaron Boone. And, you know, it's like with my kids sometimes. Like, I know when my daughter is lying to me for the most part, but I also know at times when I accuse her of something, I can tell when she truly is so exasperated. Thank you. She's so exasperated in her response that I go, oh God, she is telling the truth. Like instant tears, like, oh my God, Flint, like, I didn't do that. And I'm like, you know what? I know you're telling the truth because you were really freaked out, right? I could tell with Aaron Boone's response. I didn't need to look at anything else. I know he didn't say anything
right. Because
it was not a normal protest.
Yeah.
Somebody in the crowd said something. Wendelstedt thought it was Aaron Boone. He tossed him, and he stuck with it. And you had not just Boone, but you had other players, whatever, doing the same thing. Honest to God, Jason, I would have liked... You know what would have been a cool moment? I know this sounds stupid, but honestly, I think it would have been a really cool mic'd up moment for Wendelstedt and for umpires. If he said, Aaron, I've known, if you could hear this, Aaron, I've known you a long time. You look me in the eyes and you give me your word as a man that you did not say anything. Look me in the eyes and swear on your kids you didn't say anything. And if Aaron says, I swear to God on my kids I didn't say anything, reverse the ejection.
Right. And then he said, you swear on your kids and you're lying to me?
I know.
You're out for the next week.
Why can't we have something like that where these managers and umpires know each other? In most cases, they're friends. They get it. Why can't we have a situation like that where the umpire shows a little bit of grace? Just like I'd like to see it the other way around. We didn't have that. It was a bad look.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I guess it gets attention for the sport, but not the good kind of attention, so it's a bad look.
And can I also say... We also don't know what else was said earlier by
him
either. I know.
Second batter of the game.
I don't know if there was like a previous game. I just always reserved the fact that like, was there something else? Was there something in pregame? Was there something from the? I don't know.
No.
Aaron Boone would never.
Exactly.
Number two, please.
Safer out. It would be perfectly fine if an umpire reversed an ejection.
So kind of stepped on that earlier, my own question. But yes, I think so. I think there needs to be, look, it's, I think it's
like their own internal review.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you know what? I got that wrong.
And you don't want to set a precedent. What you don't want to do is have somebody necessarily talk their way, like, okay, I'll be good from now on. Right. All right, this is your last warning. But, like, okay, again, Dave's stupid ideas, which we should have sponsored. Like, can there be something between a warning and an ejection? Like, what about, like...
bring cards into it.
What about, like, a penalty box? Like, you have to go in the clubhouse for an inning. You're,
and,
like, not...
And wear a fake mustache.
You're right, Bobby.
Yeah.
You're not officially ejected, but, like, yeah, this is your last warning, and
timeout.
You got an inning off. Yeah, you're in the penalty box. Yeah, I think if there's an extenuating circumstance like yesterday, I mean, what would have happened if he had reversed it? You know what would have probably happened? The other manager would have come out, and he would have had to have ejected him. I understand. You create a whole new thing there.
What would you put in the penalty box? There'd need to be more of a penalty than just being out for an inning. Like, they have to watch something.
Yeah, that's a great point. I got it. They have to go in the penalty box, but they have to watch on loop the, I think it was called Caveman with Ringo Starr in the early 80s. You remember that B movie?
I do.
I think just on loop.
Yeah.
And like, and they have to put headphones on, and it has to be like closed. So like all you're doing is watching and listening to Ringo Starr. Wasn't John Matuszak in that too?
Yes.
That's,
I don't know what any of these things are that you're talking about.
Classic.
You know what? During the break, you should just look up Caveman Ringo Starr trailer on YouTube and...
You're welcome.
Watch the special effects with the dinosaurs. Doesn't that movie end where he throws the hot chick in the big giant pile of dinosaur poo?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know. Just
Chris
gave it away.
Watch it tonight.
So anyways, I say safe. Okay, question three. Chris would probably like that movie, to
I
be
know.
Honest with you. Question
with
three.
Safe or out? With their shutout of the Yankees yesterday, the A's are officially interesting.
Who wrote this question?
I know, right? What? I think that's safe. I think the A's are a little interesting. I think they got a guy that could fire 103.
Oh, man.
That just makes some hitters look like little kids. Look, they ain't going to win any World Series or nothing, but interesting in the sense that we'd expect anything out of them.
And make them interesting before they come here.
Yeah.
Yeah? You changed your face.
You've changed your face.
Yeah.
That's a whole different conversation.
Okay. You just said you'd be in if they got
here.
I will.
Know,
they're not here yet.
They're not here yet. And anytime we have this, we go down this road about the A's coming here, it just creates a whole thing and everybody gets mad. It's exit day. I just don't have the energy.
You need energy.
I do. And I think that's why I'm going to switch to electric this summer at the behest of my friends at American Energy. By the way, text line 916-339-1140. You gotta love this text from the 530. Why do you guys think Monty cares about your opinion, my opinion, or anyone's opinion besides his opinion? I don't. Well, hey, Chris, is that, what is it? What's the internet? Is that what they call a straw man? What is that? Or false equipment? There's one of those internet-y terms, and I feel like that's it. Like, why are you asking a question that was never asked by us?
Sounds like a straw man.
Is that a straw? Okay. There's like internet-only terms, and I think that's one of them. What are you talking about? Who said he cares? I hope he doesn't care. But at the same time, it's like, why are you guys talking about sports? It doesn't affect anything. The game's still over. Okay. Show over. Thanks. Well done. Appreciate it. Anyways, let's switch. Let's switch to all electric. Let's focus on the, let's eye on the ball, guys. You can save big with American Energy and get rid of these spiking energy bills this summer. Up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. And American Energy is providing huge rebates from SMUD as well, up to $9,000. And they will do all the work for you in getting those rebates. And you'll be left with nothing but, lower bills and incredibly efficient AC options available to you. And they're available right now. Get rid of those fluctuating gas bills in the winter. Get rid of those crazy SMUD bills in the summer. Switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. They're the best. I love them to death. Been around since 1981. Better Business Bureau. A-plus rating. 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy. Making the uncomfortable comfortable. Russell, who I am shocked knows this, says it's a logical fallacy, not a straw man. Thank you. Logical fallacy, straw man,
like a straw man,
false equivalency. There's always those nerdy internet terms and arguments I hate. All right, when we come back, the NBA playoffs are in full swing. The Lakers are crying. It's always a great thing. And why jinxes are real, we have proof. We'll do that next.